Hi, Alan. Elise here at writingmusicaltheater.com, having a look at your new outline. No need to apologize for not keeping momentum. I certainly understand how that happens, so no problems there. And I'm intrigued to see that you've come up with a new approach and are sort of a little bit starting over. And I think there's a lot to be said for this basic storyline, so let me walk you through some feedback to what you've presented to me. Overall, and I'll get to some specifics in a second, but overall, I would say for your next submission, make sure that you go back to writing the outline in outline format of telling me, you know, scene one, where does it take place and what happens, and scene two, where does it take place and what happens. You've written a little bit more here of a rough treatment or a rough outline, I know, because you're going back to square one. And so some of the questions that I have at this point have to do with how many scenes does this take and how long does it take and etc. So I understand why that didn't happen in this draft, but make sure that you get back to that in the next draft. I have two big questions about this approach to the piece. One is, it is not at the moment clear to me who your lead is. And if you look at your beginning, middle, end, you start out talking about the band and Harry, and you do mention June and Tom, but then again, the middle is the band starts to disintegrate, and then by the end, it looks like maybe it's possibly a little bit more about June, but it's not clear. Is this about June? Is this about Harry? Is this about June and Harry? Is this about June and Harry and Dan? Is this about the whole band? It isn't clear what your focus is going to be, and therefore it isn't clear whose journey, whose learning. I think at the end of the day that it looks like it's June who has an idea of what she thinks she wants in terms of being involved with this band, and then eventually through Dan's help is able to realize that she loves to write, but she doesn't actually need to sing the songs or tour with the band, and she discovers what she really needs in life. So I think you might want to think about that. That ties in very much to my other question, which is, I see that you have this narrative device where you have Tom addressing the audience, and then June addresses the audience, and then later on, a fair bit later on, Zoe does a little bit, and Dan does a little bit. And I'll talk about this a little more specifically. I'm not at all against the idea of a narrative device, and I'm not at all against the idea of of multiple narrators, but you need to make a decision about who gets to narrate and when and why, and then you have to be consistent about it. So at the moment, you haven't been consistent. So for instance, Tom narrates at the beginning of the show, but never narrates again. I think June only narrates once. Zoe gets a couple of times, and one of the times when she's narrating, Dan narrates too, but then it turns into a scene between the two of them as opposed to a direct narrative. So it's inconsistent at the moment. So if you want to use it, you need to think about why are you using it and therefore who gets to do it. So for example, if June is your lead character, is she the one who narrates so that she can walk us through the story and talk about how she finally got to where she's getting? Is it Dan, for instance, narrating because he's watching June's journey and he's seeing, you know, how she goes from point A to point B? If it's multiple people narrating, I think that can work, but then I think you need, again, to decide who, and it almost feels like everybody should get to, but then you need to set that up right at the beginning. We need to hear from each of them right at the beginning, and then you need to decide when will we hear from them again, in what ways will they start to drop off as narrator, will we get them back again, do we hear them at the end of Act 1 and the top of Act 2, do they tie up the show for us? So your instinct to include a narrative device is fine, but you need to make really strong decisions about why you're using it, who gets to do it and when, and then you have to be completely consistent about that. So again, in your premise paragraph, I feel the same thing. It doesn't start out seeming to be June's story, but by the time you get to the last sentence, it seems like it is. But even so, you're only telling me plot. She falls for the band manager, they quit the band and raise a child together, but that's all plot. So what you haven't done is set up for me, this is a person who, you know, is June a person who is seeking success in the music business and sees this as a way, and that's why she pushes her songs, and then maybe she's upset when they're gonna do her songs without her doing them, but somehow or other she eventually realizes actually she doesn't mind if someone else does her songs, and she realizes that the pleasure she gets is in the actual writing of them, she doesn't need to be the one to sing them, and she can do that and stay at home and raise a family. So what you really want to be doing is talking through the emotional journey of your lead character, not just your premise paragraph at the moment just talks us through plot. And certainly you can have plot in a premise paragraph, but you need to use your plot to track your lead character's emotional journey. So that's what's missing at the moment. And it shows in your outline. Okay, so some details about your outline. It wasn't clear to me at the top in the outline whether Harry was addressing us as if we were the audience for his show or if we were actually the audience. I think it became clear later that we were the audience. So if that's the case, if your show starts out with somebody come out and basically saying, you know, here's where we were, here's the story I'm going to tell you, you might want to think a little bit more about why does this person feel the need to tell us about this? And what viewpoint are they taking it from? Is this the Harry who's been through all of this and knows what happened and wants to tell us the story of how, you know, he found the girl and got the girl and then lost the girl? Or, you know, you need to think about what is the point of view of why he's narrating to us? And then that will inform how often he gets to narrate and how that progresses. It wasn't 100% clear to me when they discover that their lead guitarist is passed out in the toilet that the way to fix that is, hey, I know, we've just lost our lead guitarist. I know how to fix that. Let's play a song we've never done before. That doesn't sound like the fix for me. It seems to me if you've lost your lead guitarist, what you do is you figure out what song can we do without our lead guitarist, right? So just think that through. And how that goes forward. So June addresses us now, and I said, yeah, I'm down with the idea of having different narrative points of view. It muddles it a little bit to have Tom take part in this narrative again, because I think you need to make some decisions. Who gets to narrate? Is it everybody, or is it just because Zoe and Dan get to, but not until much, much later, and Charlie never does, and so I'm not clear on the decision making. And if you do want to do multiple point of views, make sure you set them all up right off the top as quickly as you can. Harry narrated, then, Harry narrated at us and then he had a scene. June narrated at us, but then she didn't have a scene. Harry had another scene. I know that June is involved in that scene, but again, you need to set it up. So be a little bit more consistent about how you set it up. I think, you know, you say that they, in this paragraph, you say that they fired the lead guitarist. You can do that in the scene earlier when they discover that. It makes more sense, rather than waiting until now when they come into the pub, for them to somehow mention, oh, and by the way, we just fired our lead guitarist. Why not go back to the moment when it happens, when they discover she can't revive him, he's passed out in the toilet, she can't revive him, rather than just debating what to do. Harry could say, okay, that's it. He's fired. We're never working with him again. Now let's figure out what to do. And you could get all that done in the moment when it happens, rather than having them have to talk about it in a past tensey. I understand that you're trying to avoid having to have an actor play this character who's never going to come back. So I'm not trying to have you make a scene where they fire him, but they could mention that they're going to when they find that out. You might consider that this multiple narrative and this opening of the band having to fire somebody and being stuck and then going somewhere for a pub and hearing another group play that makes them think, oh, that's where we'll get our person, could be more intercut rather than, you know, a narrative, a scene, a narrative, a scene. You could think of this as much more of a big opening number where we're intercutting between the beginning of Harry's story and the band and June and Tom's story and how they get together. You could intercut that a bit more. Charlie, Dan, and Zoe, they're at the bar, they're discussing what on earth to do. They listen to somebody who seems to be really good, and then Charlie and Dan and Zoe all just conveniently leave so that Harry can approach June and Tom on his own. It seems convenient, and they do that a little later, too. There's another scene where they just conveniently disappear. So I think you need to think that through a little bit more. So he approaches June because she's pretty and she sings well and she has a good song, I guess. That it's all of those things, but you might not want to go for all of that all at once. I don't know that you need all... He has a need. They're looking for a singer. She's a good singer. Or it might make more sense that they're looking for a singer to replace their guitarist, and Tom is a good singer. It might be more useful to you if the original approach is because Tom is a good singer, and that's what they're looking for, right? Remember, what are they trying to replace in their band? They're trying to replace a guitarist singer. So is that June or is that Tom? And how soon do you want Harry to be interested in June's lyrics? Because I think part of what you've left out here is June's interest in getting her songs placed and being rebuffed somehow. You need to set that up. So if the very first time Harry hears one of her songs, he really likes it, and he agrees to do three of her songs, even though he hasn't heard the other two, in their very first gig together, you're making life way too easy for June, I think. Let's see. When you get to something like, they decide they're going to have a jam session, then the jam session is underway and she's arrived straight from her day job. You're giving me lots of exposition and backstory here, which I'm not sure how it will come out in the story. Since you've set up a narrative conceit, do you want to continue using a narrative conceit to bridge moments of time like that and have your narrator step forward to tell us what's going on in between? In the next version of your outline, you're going to want to be very specific about June narrates, and this is what she tells us. Harry narrates, and this is what he tells us. Here's the scene and what takes place in the scene. So you want to be very specific about what's narrated and what happens within a scene. So Tom comes in late. They've heard a song from June. They like it. Tom comes in late. He says, "Don't worry about it." And they do a song where this time June wrote the music and Tom wrote the lyrics. There's something muddy about that because you also several times mention what a brilliant lyricist Tom is, and yet I think you're trying to write a story about a woman who's a lyricist who's trying to get notice. So I think you might want to simplify that a little bit and be a little bit more clear. Is June writing the lyrics and the music? You know, and then when you say Tom wows the band, is he wowing them with his brilliant guitar playing and his great singing? Or is he wowing them with the song? And if he wows them with the song, and yet it's June who wrote the music, but Harry concedes that Tom knows what he's doing with the music that June wrote. So I'm very confused now. I think you need to be very specific about the quality of the music, the quality of the lyrics, the quality of the musicianship, and the quality of the singing. So you've got sort of four different things, and everybody doesn't have to be good at all of them. You know, so it could be that they're totally wowed with Tom's singing and guitar playing. He's brilliant. But he doesn't also have to be a good lyricist and a good musician, a good songwriter. That's June, right? And so you're sort of wasting the opportunity to set up the issue here that they are totally... So Tom is an irresponsible asshole who comes late and can't be bothered to be responsible, but he's such a brilliant guitarist and singer that they're mad about him and are willing to let that go, but they aren't really cluing into the fact that he wouldn't be able to impress them so much if he didn't have brilliant music and brilliant lyrics, which June supplied, but she's not getting the attention that she deserves for that, conceivably. But that might not be the direction you're going in, but I just think you want to be really careful to clarify the difference between someone's singing ability, their guitar playing ability, their lyric writing ability, and their music writing ability. And you don't have to have so many people so good at so many things. The reason they are drawn to each other and need each other is because they fill in all of those pieces, I think. And then you're going to want to think about if Harry is the head of the band, what is his thing? What is he good at? If he's not the lead guitarist in the band, then what is he? Did you set that up for us? What Harry's... You have told us that Dan is the manager, although you haven't really given him much managing to do. He's on rhythm guitar. So he's on bass. Charlie's on drums. So... You sort of... Harry seems to be bossing everybody around a lot, and yet he's the rhythm guitarist. So I think, again, you want to think about what is the makeup of this band, and is it useful to you to have the lead guitarist and lead singer be someone we never meet, and somehow Harry's in charge of the band, but he's only the rhythm guitarist. Is that a thing, usually? You might want to consider what would happen if Harry is the lead guitarist, and it's a rhythm guitarist they're looking for, and Tom shows up, and the fact that Tom is so freaking good puts into question, should it be Harry? Or, you know, should Tom be the rhythm guitarist, or should he take over? You know, you've got so much opportunity here for rivalries between them as to their position in the band, and I don't think you're quite yet taking full advantage of that. Okay, moving on to your page 3 of your outline. Yes, I talked about that. No, sorry, I talked about all of that. Okay, so they'll only do it if she agrees to do it if they do 3 of her songs. So I think it's good to get that set up, but we just heard a great song that apparently Tom wrote. Does he not care if they do one of his songs or not? It's only June that cares. She insists on 3 songs when they've only heard 1, and it was Tom who blew them out of the water with his lyrics. So again, be clear here about who's doing the good work, who has to fight to have their work acknowledged, and who doesn't, and use those tensions. And then again, you say Zoe, Dan, and Charlie leave, and Harry overhears Tom and June arguing. But this is a jam session that they set up, and yet, so is it at Harry's house? Why are Tom and June hanging around to argue, but all the other people who presumably jam here all the time conveniently leave? So you want to think that through. Harry's part in all of this, he overhears them arguing, and he's left intrigued and hopeful. That's all, he's just being an observer. He has no action. So is he, how do we know about his observation? Is he narrating that? Or are you thinking that in this, and is this meant to be a stage piece or movie? Because if we, in a movie, we could sort of see that he's overhearing and sort of get an idea of what's going on in his head. But in a theatrical piece, it's pretty rough to hope that while two people are fighting on stage, that we're going to notice someone else overhearing them and being left intrigued and hopeful if they don't have anything to do to show that. You say the first gig is a success, but you don't tell us whether or not we actually get to hear and see this gig or how much of it. You say that it's clear there's an undeniable mutual attraction. However, look back at your outline. You've established for us that Harry's interested in June. You've given us no reason to think that June's interested in Harry. So don't just assume that. Give us some reason why, and some way that Harry behaves towards her that would allow her to show that she's also intrigued by him, that it's mutual. The band embarks on a tour. Please make sure that you set that up. Do they know from the beginning they have a tour coming? Is that one of the reasons they're anxious to get somebody on board? Let Dan do his job as a manager. Make sure, I think I forgot to mention this earlier. Make sure in your next outline that you do not use the passive voice in your outline. So when you say the band embarks on a tour, that's passive voice. You know, they find out that a record label is interested in them. That's passive voice. That's not telling me what I'm going to see on stage to tell me this. So, you know, early on, have Dan say, you know, this is the last time we're going to let this guy, we're not going to let him come on tour with us. This tour is too important. So that you can use action to let us know there's a tour rather than a passive voice. Later, they embark on a tour. We didn't know it was coming, and we don't know how we're going to find out about it. It feels to me like you are setting yourself up now, long days and nights in a van, traveling long distances. You're setting yourself up for a passage of time montage that could cover a lot of ground, that could literally get us to the end of Act 1. So in your next outline, if you're interested in that kind of a thing, then you would set that up and you would say, tour montage, and then give us bullet points of all the little scenes that we're going to see in the montage that might be intercut with them playing songs, and then we see a scene, and then playing songs, and then we see a scene. And during that time, you can establish these things like Dan and Zoe's relationship falling apart. But rather than just saying in the passive voice, Dan and Zoe's relationship is on its last legs, or necessarily resorting to Zoe suddenly becoming a narrator when she wasn't before, you could just show us a scene, you know, they're on the bus and they have an argument, and then we see them doing a gig, and then, so you could show us these things in a series, in a montage series of scenes. Or you could narrate, but then, you know, but you need to, you know, pick that and be clear about it, and if Zoe's going to narrate, you need to set that up earlier. Let's see. You might consider looking back and have it be Dan be the one who suggests that they play some of June's songs, rather than having June come right out of the gate very strongly saying, you must play three of my songs, because you might want to be establishing this relationship between, you know, that Dan is the one who's doing nice things, but, you know, she's just seeing him as a friend to begin with. You mentioned that a friendship develops between the two women in the band. Again, that is a passive statement that implies a lot of different scenes. So, you know, you would want to, and then you write one scene. So you might want to pepper your montage with little moments where June and Zoe have these, rather than a full scene necessarily. Or if you're going to write a full scene where they become friends, then in your outline, make sure you don't say a friendship develops between the two women, because that's a passive voice that does not suggest to me a scene that I'm watching between two people. I don't see anything happening in, there's that whole sequence between June and Joey, but you're not developing the relationship with Harry in here. I'm not fully seeing necessarily a triangle happening between June and Harry and Dan, which I think you could have more. I think that the end of the act ends without the stakes being high enough. Is June pushing for more of her songs to be done? Is Dan trying to get that to happen and Harry doesn't want to for some reason? Is the relationship between June and Harry heating up, but Dan is being nice? There isn't enough tension. And then you don't end it with any return to the narrative. And then in Act Two, now you say the attraction between June and Harry grows, and I think you want to put that into Act One, into this passage of time montage, and maybe end Act One with something more important, like they get found out, or maybe Dan sees what's going on. Or I just think you're not, if you're going to have an act break, and maybe your show doesn't need one, but if you're going to have one, you need a lot more tension at the end of the act. The top of Act Two, with the attraction between the two of them and deciding to keep it a secret, felt to me like a bit of a different show from what you were setting up at the end of Act One. There's no narrative at the top, at the end of Act One, or at the top of Act Two. Okay, so now there's a paragraph in here where you talk again about Tom's amazing lyric writing ability, that he can pull catchy lyrics out of thin air and leave others to spin them into pop song gold. I don't know who these others are, because if what you're implying is that June takes his catchy lyrics and turns them into songs, then that's not going to lead you to someone who is a brilliant songwriter in her own right. So again, I would suggest that the only reason they keep Tom around is because he's an absolutely extraordinary guitarist or singer. But if he's also a good lyricist, then he's playing in June's lane, and I don't know if that's useful to you. And your emphasis on June's interest in playwriting has disappeared in this point of the outline. Plant your seeds for this behavior. You mentioned that Tom's continued bad behavior, but you haven't had any mention of it. So I think you want to find places, going back to Act One, to plant bad behavior rather than just tell me. Again, that's a passive voice, is continued bad behavior. Show me bad behavior, and make that part of the stakes at the end of Act One. It could be, for instance, that Tom sees June and Harry together at the end of Act One, and that pisses him off, and that's when he starts, you know, blowing things off. But show it to us. Don't just tell us when you move on to the next part of the outline. I think this is the first time that suddenly Dan joins the narrative team in the middle of your page four, and that's, you know, Act Two, middle of Act Two is too late to add somebody on as a narrator if they haven't already been narrating. And then this narration becomes a scene between Dan and Zoe, and that doesn't really follow the rules of the narration that you've set up. So set up your rules and then follow them. Let's see. So they're going to have someone new that we haven't met yet sing June's new song. I think they should just have Zoe do it. This idea of they'll find a session musician to fill in for her, I don't know that that's useful to you. You know, it could be that, for instance, it could be that when June joined the band, she doesn't really play an instrument. You know, maybe she's one of those people who plays, you know, the tambourine or the maracas, but she sings. And so if she's not there, Zoe, who's already playing an instrument, could take over the singing and continue to play her instrument, but also sing. And then you don't have to figure out how to involve another person, but you still set the idea up, you start to get us ready for the idea that it ultimately will be less important to June whether she sings her own lyrics or not, because her journey is to learn that she just likes to write them and to have them put, have them sung out there in the world, but she doesn't need to be the one singing them. Not sure when the pregnancy test happens or how we find out about it. Is she narrating to us? Is she in a scene? Is she all alone? And we're supposed to, you know, just, I'm not sure how this information is going to come out if she doesn't tell it to anyone or narrate it to us. Same thing with unsure what to do. June wants to talk to Harry about her pregnancy, but can't seem to bring herself to raise it with him. Is this narration? Is this June telling us this? And if not, how would we know this? Page 5. It's not exactly fair for the women to talk about how guys get to lead a life of hedonistic irresponsibility and the women deal with the consequences. I know you mean, you know, the pregnancy, but the fact is you've established that Tom is also a wildly brilliant lyricist. So I would be cautious about that. In the earlier scene, Harry sends Dan to talk to June and tell her, we're going to have someone else sing your lyrics, because he's afraid to tell her that. But then when Dan shows up in this scene, he doesn't do that. It doesn't even come up, because you move right on to Dan has somehow guessed what's going on. So I think you need to start that. That needs to be a scene where Dan arrives to tell her what's going on. And then does he tell her? He has to tell her, right? And maybe this is where they discuss whether it's important. You know, what does she really care about? Does she really want it? As long as the song's in the show, does it matter whether she sings it or not? And this could lead to him guessing what's going on about the pregnancy and providing a sympathetic ear, etc. But it seems odd to me that he was sent to see her with a mission, and then that mission doesn't take place. She never is replaced by a session singer, as far as I can tell. Now, after they sing the song, there's a tender moment between Harry and they talk about a shared future. So she, before, didn't know how to tell him what was going on. So what changed? Is it because of the conversation with Dan that she feels ready to go have an intimate moment with Tom, with Harry? So be clear about that. Does she even know that they did this gig without her? How does she react to it? That wasn't expressed, and she says she won't be a party girl anymore. I'm not seeing evidence that she was a party girl to begin with. So think that one through. Once again, please keep remembering to show and don't tell when you're writing your outline. There's a conversation between Zoe and June about whether she should give up the baby so she can keep going on tour. It's interesting to me that they never once discuss what if she had the baby and continued on tour and continued performing. There are issues in that. Like, is that a good thing for the kid or not? And how long can you do that before the kid really should be in school? But the fact that they don't even talk about it seems odd to me. Like, it's not even one of the possibilities. Okay, so Dan keeps talking to her about how he likes being at home and she's attracted. Be careful about lines like, June finds herself attracted to his low-key integrity and impressed by his clear-sighted financial foresight. That is what I call a statement of fact. Dan refrains from putting pressure on her. Statement of fact. That's not an action. In the next version of your outline, you want to write for me a scene. What happens in the scene? Don't tell me the results of the scene. Tell me the action of the scene. Plant some seeds for this record label, rather than just say at the same time the band is meeting a record label to play them some of their music. Because again, statement of fact that doesn't tell me how this got. Find a moment where Dan can come and tell them as their manager. You don't give him many opportunities to be their manager. Let him show up and say, hey, I got this great opportunity for us to play for this record label. This could be our big break, and here's how it's going to happen. We're going to meet with them, you know, and then it can, when Tom is AWOL, I'm not sure why again, I got a little confused at this moment. You have very little band left. June is going into labor. Dan is their manager and isn't actually a player. You've said that Tom is AWOL, so who have you got left? You've got Charlie, but he never gets mentioned, so I guess he's there. So I guess you've got Charlie and Tom and Zoe left, but Tom is AWOL, you've got Harry. No, she can't get a hold of Harry. So it looks like there's no Harry as far as the band is concerned. June's in labor. Harry is nowhere to be found. Tom is AWOL. So does that mean that the band that goes, and Dan is the manager, so does that mean that the band that goes to the record label meeting is just Zoe and Charlie? That's all I see that are left, so I'm a little confused about what's happening there. Cassette tape of their songs. Again, what year are you in? Just clarify. It turns out Tom missed the record label gig. How does it turn out? Who tells us that? Why are we going to hear about it in past tense? This helps confirm that this life isn't for her child. Well, she dumped Tom a while back, and it's Harry that she's going to be with, so I'm not sure how Tom's irresponsibility has made her realize that she doesn't want a life with Harry. That's not quite tracking for me. Okay. Then you say Harry visits June and the new baby. It's revealed that Dan has moved in, and I felt like, oh my goodness, I missed it. Where was the scene where the two of them decided they wanted to have a relationship? I know he was there for her for the birth, but that's a big beat to skip, that when they actually fall in love and something happens. And whose home is this? You say he's moved in. Moved in what? June had a home? That Tom no longer is a part of. They've been on tour, right? So when did June get a home? You know, or did Dan have a home and he invited June to move in with him? Think about what that is. And because you just say he's moved in and we didn't see a scene between them, I'm still questioning, are they a couple or is he just trying to help her out? You haven't established that in the outline. I think you mean for them to be a couple, but you haven't established that clearly. Okay, so you talk about their latest album coming out, right? The band is going on tour to promote their latest album. Okay, so as far as we know, they have a lead guitarist, Tom, who is irresponsible and misses gigs. Their manager has left. Their writer has left. She, as a performer, she's not with them anymore. So who all's in the band now again? I guess it's Harry and Zoe and Charlie. Have they hired new people? And if so, what are we watching? You know, they could be a band of three, but I think you need to figure, because are we good? Do we not get to see any more of their performances because you don't want to show us new people in their band? I don't know that you need to have Harry suddenly become a problem, because you've got, where is it? You've got Harry, what is it? Harry... Why did I get the impression that Harry was also partying too hard? I see, it's just that she couldn't get a hold of him when she went into labor. So, you might go further than that. You have an opportunity here for Harry, because this meeting with the band label is so important, that Harry could actually, you've got such a great opportunity here, that Harry literally decides to go to the record label meeting instead of the birth of his own child. Because, you know, the doctors will take care of it, and Dan's agreed to go, so she doesn't need him, but the record label thing is really important. That would be something that would really cement for June. So Tom, you know, getting pissed drunk is not the thing that's going to make her decide she doesn't have a future with Harry. What's going to make her decide she doesn't have a future with Harry is when he picks the record label meeting over being at in the labor room with her. I think you could, you know, let's see. Do they get rid of Tom or not? It's not clear, because they could get rid of Tom and Zoe could move up. You need to clarify in here. They're still using June's songs, and that's what's really important to her. They just don't need her to sing them. Yeah, I said you skipped the part where Dan and June become a couple, and you dropped the narrative conceit. So let me go back to the plus side to say I think you have a really good idea here that's going to work. And I just say that in the next version of the outline, you want to do is, first of all, make a very strong decision about why you want to use the narrative conceit and how, and establish the rules for yourself. Who gets to narrate? And then if it's multiple people, make sure I hear from all of the people who are going to narrate within the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show. And then you can alternate between them, but you can't establish two people as narrators and then act two have different people become narrators. So make a decision that means something and commit to it and then have it recur and be useful or skip it. Either way will work, but make sure that you don't use the passive voice, that you're specific about what the scene is, who's in it, and what's happening. Don't say things to me like, "It is revealed," or make statements of fact. Be very specific, and be really, most importantly, pick who you want your lead to be, and then what is the journey? It feels to me like it's June, and figure out what is the journey, and it feels to me like the journey is, I want to be a rock and roll star, and I write great songs, and I think you want them to be lyrics and music, probably. And her journey is to discover that she doesn't actually like the rock and roll lifestyle, and it's the writing of the song that she loves. She doesn't need to be the one performing it and living the rock and roll lifestyle. She just wants to write the songs and get someone else to do it, and that's her journey. And Dan is the one. Dan's pragmatic down-to-earthness is what helps her realize that, and coupled with Harry's choosing the band over their not just their relationship but the birth of their child, etc., 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 that kind of stuff. So make really strong decisions and follow them through as you write your next outline. And I think you've got the potential here for something really strong and interesting. And I look forward to when you get around to the next step in it. So thanks and toodaloo.